News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
Now, the government is openly at war with its own people. So wrote John McGurk, editor of Gripped Media, who joins us now this morning. Good morning to you, John. What do you mean by that?
Well, if you read the piece, Ciara, good morning, first of all, it's actually something that was said to me last week by somebody in Ross Cray, of all places, when we were discussing the issue of immigration. And in the piece, what I say what that person meant and where I think they have a point is that if you look at Newtownmount Kennedy this weekend, you've got people in Newtownmount Kennedy who are protesting the opening of an asylum centre in their town where people are going to be living in tents, I think up to 80 people. And you've got the Garda Public Order Unit coming down and literally forcing a protest that is not all local people, but the vast majority of local people out of the way and forcing through trucks to open up a building there. And you've got people in that town and in others across the country who are saying, look, these are my taxes that I have just paid to the state, which are now being used by the state to literally force a change in my community, to put more pressure on my local services, to in some cases take away services like hotels. And I really feel opposed to this, and yet I have absolutely no say in it, unlike I would have if it was an ordinary matter of planning permission for building housing or if it was an infrastructure project. And force is being used against my community to impose this upon us. And it feels like the government is at war with us because we have no recourse. We have no, in every other matter of democracy, if they were planning to build, for example, I used the example of the North-South interconnector, which has been going on for years. The government says it's a really important project, yet local people have had to be consulted in Meath and Monaghan to such an extent that project has been delayed by decades. I used the example of a planning permission not being granted for 1,500 apartments in Dublin last week because local people were able to object. But in relation to this particular issue, local people have no ability to object and their objections are trampled over. And to many people, and this is why it's becoming so passionate out there, I think it feels like communities are, in the words of that person from Ross Cray, at war with their own government and being deprived of the normal voice.
Bring in Emma D'Souza, writer and commentator. Emma, the government is at war with the people. People have their democratic rights being shelved on this issue. What do you say to that?
Morning, Ciara. Well, I mean, personally, I think that language, considering what we're seeing at the moment in Gaza and in Ukraine, is really inappropriate. But just to go into context of the issues here, people in Ireland remain largely positive about immigration. We can see that because Ireland is ranked the fourth most positive in terms of support for immigration among the EU27 and the UK. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't issues. Ireland does need to have a more human-centred approach to immigration, and the government has to tackle misinformation and disinformation. You know, Ireland is not full and actually accounted for just 1.3% of EU asylum applications in 2022. Last year, a little over 13,000 sought international protection in Ireland, which was actually down 400, and the majority of whom are women and children. Applications and applicants have no entitlement to social housing or social welfare. And if they cannot live independently, they're placed in direct provision and given 3880 a week to survive off. Now, I don't know how many of us on this call or listening could survive off 38 euros a week. So in addition to that, more broadly, you know, migrants contribute an annual amount estimated of 3.7 billion to the economy through taxes, PSRI, work permits and immigration fees. So Ireland benefits from immigration and largely is positive about it.
And what do you say to that, John? Ireland is benefiting from immigration. We have tax receipts. We have our health services run hugely off the hard work of migrants. And indeed, you know, it does remain something that most Irish people appear to be supportive of to some extent. And I know what you're saying about the protesters, but equally, just because they're not there, there may be people in Newtownmount Kennedy who feel fairly positive about, for all we know, about migrants coming to their community. We just don't see them out on the picket line or on the protest line.
Well, in relation to the first point about Irish people being positive about this, I think it's very important to say Irish people are and have been historically very positive about immigration. We've had massive immigration in this country since roughly 2004 when we signed the Nice Treaty, and large numbers of people, as we know, from Eastern Europe came to live here from the then accession states, like Poland and Latvia and the Baltic states. This is
and have assimilated really, really well. Is that fair, isn't it?
And it's absolutely fair to say. But, you know, this is, we've seen opinion poll after opinion poll over the last year, from Irish Times opinion polls to Sunday Business Post opinion polls, showing that somewhere around between 60 and 80% of people believe that we have now taken in too many migrants. And this is not a matter of, you know, Emma mentioned language. This isn't a matter of race or bigotry. This is a matter of simple mathematics. When we are, I mean, if you listen to people in Killarney, for example, you've got businesses down there that are absolutely desperate because the hotel accommodation in that town, which is usually for tourists in the summer, has been almost entirely, I think something like 50% of their hotel accommodation has been usurped by the government against the wishes of the local businesses, the local community, to house migrants from various parts of the world, meaning that there is now no capacity in that town to take in tourists, which means that they're facing into a second consecutive summer of their businesses not getting the income they would have.
This point
is really important, Kerry. When you talk about a human-centred approach, we're not centering actually Irish people in Irish communities and helping them integrate and helping them survive this crisis, which is why we're seeing this backlash. And that's why it feels like the government is at war with their people. It's not about racism or anything like that. It's about capacity.
You've made your point. Let me bring in Emma. What about that? What about the legitimate concerns that aren't rooted in racism or bigotry or any of those things by business owners, etc., and communities feeling unlistened to? Isn't there a danger if communities aren't listened to that that is what fosters and festers and I suppose creates a swing towards maybe more far right elements, etc., because people do feel that they don't have a voice in this and they're concerned?
Well, I think, Kira, just on that point, excluding, of course, the sort of racist element that does rear its head. I mean, if you take a cursory search at the Ireland is Full hashtag on Twitter, you will see a lot of racism evident in some of those comments. But looking at the issues here around the sort of government approach, personally, I think it's a disgrace that we have tented accommodation in Ireland. And the fact that there are over 100,000 people in some form of direct provision at the moment, that's 74,000 who are from Ukraine and 26,000 who are under international protection. So, of course, the majority of whom are Ukrainian refugees. I think that the government does have to address those issues in terms of how it processes asylum applications. That's a really important part here, because there shouldn't be that many that are waiting for their application to be approved or denied and then put into Irish society. The issues you talk there about the far right, look, we know in the UK the dangers of the far right with Brexit. And of course, there's a socioeconomic factor here. The far right weaponizes inequality, and there are significant class issues that do persist in Ireland. And there's a danger if the government does not address the undercurrent of socioeconomic deprivation that is, of course, being weaponized by the far right. So it does have to do something about those factors and then also tackle this misinformation.
Look, we're going to have to leave it there with both of you, but a very interesting conversation. That is John McGurk, their editor of Gripped Media, and Emma D'Souza, writer and commentator. I'd love to know what you think out there this morning. It's quite the line, isn't it? The government is at war with its own people. Do you think there is an issue there, or are you in agreement with Emma that we're not even doing enough, and that some of the people who have been held in tents and housed in tents, that is actually a stain on us as well? Let us know what you think. 087 1400 106.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7 on News Talk.